Paula Poundstone fearlessly pursues laughs, whether it's talking about her Pop-Tart fascination in her stand-up, or joking about current events on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, or trying to scare people in four words by tweeting, "Please welcome President Trump." But it wasn't always this way. Now a seasoned pro, Poundstone calls her first time doing stand-up as somewhat unnerving.
I started in Boston. I used to live in a rooming house. You know, you had to take your belongings down the hall to the bathroom to, you know, take your shower or whatever. And then, so I had done so. And I think I was going over in my head, because for a couple of days ahead of time, I was, you know, memorizing my big 5-minute set. But it was still a good solid 2 days before I was supposed to go on. And I remember standing in the bathroom of the rooming house and looking down and realizing I had put my underwear on over top of my jeans. I have never done that before and not done that since. Prior to that, I wasn't aware of how nervous I was. But then the whole time at my table busing job, if anybody looked carefully, you know, they could see my lips moving the entire time. It was scary. I think maybe because I was so intent on the outcome, you know.
So you actually got up there, you were performing, you've been performing stand-up for many, many years. What do you get being up there in front of an audience? I mean, what is that feeling to have people laughing at what you're saying? I can imagine that must be quite exhilarating.
It is. It's so much fun. I am the luckiest person in the world. I consider myself a proud member of the endorphin production industry. you know, especially now when it just strikes me that there is a world mental health crisis. It's egged on at the very least by electronics, computers stealing the word connected,
yes.
Stealing the word friends. You know, in fact, the opposite appears to be taking place. I think people are less and less connected as a result of computers. And so to be a part of a night where people have gone out to laugh, have actually left their homes, put down their flat things for a little while and gone out to laugh, it's kind of magical to begin with. And then throw on top of it the fact that they're laughing at things that I say. Well, it's pretty cool.
Paula Poundstone, dogs or cats? Who would be the better doubles partner in tennis?
Well, dogs have been working out vigorously for... I'm going to say cats, because when a dog catches a tennis ball, it won't give it back.
Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Is that one of your favorite jobs to do?
Oh, so much fun. Yeah, it really is. You know, people occasionally recognize my voice and they'll say, "Oh, aren't you the person from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me?" And I say, "Yes." And they say, "It sounds like you guys are having so much fun." And I say, "Well, that's good, because, you know, we are. It's a free-for-all, and it's one of the only jobs I can, you know, I've ever been a part of." When I first started, we were not in front of a live audience. We weren't even with one another. We were all connected via wire.
Ooh, that sounds like it would kind of hamstring you a bit, did it?
It wasn't as much fun as it is with a live audience in front of you. It's much more energetic. I mean, the crowd is really important to the show, actually. But in the early years, I mean, I think I've been on for 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early years, I went to the NPR station nearest me. The first time I did the show, I remember I had a goofy, stupid headset on.
Yeah.
Occasionally the director would say something in my headset. They would say, "Jump in anytime, say whatever you want."
Cool.
Which is the polar opposite of almost any other broadcast experience. You know, they're still like that.
All right, Paula, you're in third place. You're up first. The clock will start when I begin your first question. Fill in the blank. The world's largest McDonald's is being closed to make room for a blank.
A gravesite.
An even larger McDonald's.
Oh,
on Wednesday, a Google-created artificial intelligence beat a world champion player at blank.
Go?
Yes.
Oh.
Following a drugstore robbery, police in Minneapolis posted a surveillance photo of the robber and asked if anyone recognized his blank.
I don't know. On this show, I usually like to go with ferrets down his pants.
So close.
Luckily, there appears to be no ego about any of it, really. We all, if one person says a joke that somebody else can, you know, find another joke that sort of tags onto it, all the better. You know, nobody seems to feel like, well, that was my line or anything like that. And so it really, really is fun.
You know, sometimes when I'm listening, I'm kind of on tenterhooks because I think, well, how can they come up with all this material and be funny about stuff that just happened a couple of days ago? How do you prepare for your appearances on Wait, Wait?
Prepare?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That sounds like it requires the E word, effort.
Oh.
No, you know, I have always tried to pay, well, not always, but since my early 20s, tried to pay attention to the news well enough to cast a halfway decent vote, which we all know is not an easy trick at all. And so I've been a Morning Edition listener for many, many years. I love, I still call it McNeil Air, but the NewsHour on PBS. And I used to videotape it because I wasn't always available, especially when my kids were little. A lot of times that, you know, when the NewsHour came on, I was pretty much in the weeds. I would videotape it and take it on the road with me and ask for a VCR in my hotel room and watch the week's news over the period of a couple of days.
Oh, wow.
In the hotel room. But anyway, so I've always tried to keep up with the news, but, you know, with greater and lesser degree, depending on the level of drama in my own home, generally speaking. You know, the deeper the family crisis, the less I know about the Middle East. And I've always had this feeling, by the way. I mean, you know, I always tell audience members when they ask me about Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, I say, it would be the best job in the world if the others didn't cheat. I feel, no one ever talks about the steroids. Even though I do consciously try to pay attention to the news, I'm hanging on by a thread. I'm not a historian. I don't know. You know, a lot of times I have no idea how we got where we are in one situation or another, and so I'm a little bit behind in the understanding of it. So having said all that, the way that I prepare specifically for Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is really embarrassing, actually, which is that I buy, all right, don't tell anybody.
Okay.
I collect for only that week, the week that I'm on Wait, Wait, I collect the New York Post.
The New York Post?
I know, it's a horrible thing to say out loud. Yeah. I'm not proud of it. It's shameful, that's what it is. It's funny, my son would sometimes wander through my room and see, like, the stack of those, and he'd sort of glance at them. I go, put that down. That's not news.
It's like having pornography.
Honestly, like, don't look at that. That's not news. That's for mom's work. There's another way to get the news. Put that down. Don't touch that. A couple of reasons that I grab the awful New York Post. And the truth is, I only really use a few pages of it. They do cover national news, albeit from a strange angle sometimes. But some of the national and world news is, in fact, in the silly, stupid New York Post. They have the news of the weird.
Yeah.
It's about midway through. There's like four news of the weird stories. And really, even in the early pages, there's one or two News of the Weird stories. And it opens like a magazine, as opposed to The Big Way.
Oh, yeah, because it's tabloid style.
Right, yeah. And I take it on the airplane. And on the airplane, I cannot open out. I know there's a way to fold, like, you know, the New York Times, so that, you know, people would read it on the subway without having the big pages out. But I can't do it. So that's why I use the silly, stupid New York Post, besides which the New York Times doesn't have the news of the weird. And it's the news of the weird that, generally speaking, trips you up. Especially in the lightning round. And, you know, I actually am trying to win. In fact, I love this opportunity to talk about the show because I like to correct that misconception. Yes, I'm trying to win.
Of course.
A lot of people think I throw the match. Tragically, no. In fact, I should be insulted by that, but I'm not. I just so happen to lose a lot, but yes, I am trying to win. Oftentimes, the more well-known information is usually asked in the beginning of the lightning round, and then the questions sort of get harder as they go along, and then you really bottom out on the news of the weird.
Paula, do you feel that the NPR audience is a tough audience?
No, they're pussycats.
Uh-huh.
They're great audience. You know, when I work in theaters and do stand-up, the NPR crowd has been such a great addition to my, already existing stand-up crowd. Because, I've been a stand-up for, I think, 37 years now. And I've been on Wait Wait for, I think, 15. And so there was a, you know, there was a blending of the two. It's like I got married or something. There was a blending of the two families. And, you know, there's people who come to see my show who've never heard of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And then there's people who come to see my show because they know me from Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and they don't understand why I'm not answering questions about the week's news. Failing answering questions about the week's news. I do hold the record for losses, by the way.
That's Paula Poundstone. She's performing tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. I'm Laura Kennedy.